Muggles, and the wonderful wizarding world of J.K. Rowling. Magic is about more than the superstitions of the past and the fantasies of the present. Here's Alexander Locke, one of the curators of the British Library exhibition.
I suppose a large part of magic is about belief and about just looking for things or willing to believe it's there. And if you believe it, then it can be there, it can happen. And I once read a really interesting quote that if you don't believe in magic, you'll never find it. And that's so true. And that's the magic of magic.
Joining us on our magical expedition will be experts from both the British Library and the New York Historical Society. We're also lucky to have the wisdom of narrators of the Harry Potter books, Stephen Fry and Jim Dale, as well as illustrators Jim Kay and Olivia Lominick-Gill. Like the Hogwarts curriculum, our book is divided into specialist subjects: potions and alchemy, herbology, charms, astronomy, divination, defense against the dark arts, and care of magical creatures. We'll also look at the past, the present, and the future of the wizarding world, with some very special objects donated by the book's UK and US publishers, Bloomsbury and Scholastic. And we are privileged to be able to explore illustrations, early drafts, and precious artifacts loaned by J.K. Rowling herself. To understand the impact the history of magic has had on the Harry Potter books, we first need to understand the history of the books themselves. So let's begin by following the journey of a boy called Harry, the boy who became the most famous wizard in the world. The boy who lived. We'll start with a little scrap of paper, the first Harry Potter reader report, written by Alice Newton, aged 8. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone had been rejected by 8 publishers. When the manuscript landed at Bloomsbury, it was possibly its last chance. The Bloomsbury editorial staff presented the first 3 chapters of the story to their colleagues in the form of a scroll. The chief executive of Bloomsbury, Nigel Newton, took this scroll home, but instead of settling down and reviewing it himself, gave it to one of his most trusted readers. She wrote him a report that changed the face of publishing. Narrator of the UK Harry Potter books, Stephen Fry.
His daughter, who was 8 years old, said, "The excitement in this book made me feel warm inside. I think it's possibly one of the best books an 8 to 9-year-old could read." And for that reason, he went on the hunch and said, "Well, if my daughter likes it that much, I think we'll publish it." And many other publishing houses had turned it down. So I hope Alice, who presumably now is a little bit older than 8, unless something weird happened with a spell, is very proud of herself.
The next day, Nigel attended a board meeting at Bloomsbury where they decided to publish Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. For the next 3 months, Alice pestered her father, asking for the rest of the book. It's just possible that this small scrap of paper represents the moment where everything changed. The record-shattering series of books, the all-conquering film franchise, the multi-award-winning play, the enthralling studio tour, and the joy brought to millions begins with Alice Newton's book review. J.K. Rowling has uncovered a fascinating selection of working documents. Most were made in the 6 years before the first Harry Potter book was published. Writings, drawings, jottings, doodles, brainstorms, and early drafts reveal the astonishing detail and depth she went into when creating stories and characters, as well as her inventiveness in the creation of the magic in the wizarding world. It also reveals her understanding of real-world magic and folklore. We'll be exploring J.K. Rowling's work in tandem with historical artifacts throughout our voyage through a history of magic.